All right, so a couple of days ago, I received a book called The Natural in the mail. It was sent to me all the way from the UK, where, you know, I felt pretty cool getting a package from the UK. And I have my girlfriend staying with me right now while my husband is away. And my girlfriend writes the blog for the Suicide Girls. And she and I stayed up for a couple of hours actually flipping through this book. And, I definitely have my thoughts and opinions, and so did she. And so I decided I wanted to do an interview with the person who wrote this book, and that person is Richard LaRuna, who I have on the phone with me right now. He was wonderful enough to agree to talk with me, and I would like to welcome him. Welcome, Richard.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
So I want to talk to you. I don't know if you've, done reading on my point of view and where I stand in the dating and pickup niche, but I wanted to talk to you about being a natural. And mm-hmm. The main question that I have is, is it really possible to become natural by starting off doing things that are very unnatural to you?
Yes, in short. I think if you look at any kind of area of expertise, you can look at it, some are natural and some are unnatural. So, for example, playing the piano is not something that anyone can do naturally right. The first time they're put in front of a piano. Being good with women is something a bit different, because some guys probably, wouldn't be perfect, but they might be smooth enough to get results, with the very first woman they meet, if they've always been sociable, if they've got older brothers, if they've always been around women. So it is thought of as an ability that is, some men have and some men don't have. Then there's the question of, if you take a guy that is maybe, he's 20 years old, he's considered useless with women, can he become a natural? And I think the answer is definitely yes. And the reason is that, just like the guy that, over many years was exposed to women and got comfortable and knew what to do, someone can do that, but just consciously. So for a while, they'll think about their body language, they'll think about what they say, they'll think about when to go for the kiss, and they will be clunky, they'll make mistakes, they'll be calculated. But after doing that for a period of time, it will become natural. So it's kind of the process that I went through. For a time, I was going out to meet women with a plan in my mind, whether it was a date or whether a night out to the nightclub. And now it's not something I think of, but I still do things correctly, let's say. I don't make mistakes. So it's become natural for me, but it wasn't always the case. And I think a lot of women say, it's bad, guys shouldn't learn this because it's unnatural, it should be something that just happens. But I think for a guy that hasn't, got it in him, it's fine to kind of take the time and be weird for a little while, to go out right. And say, okay, I'm going to say this, I'm going to do this. It is strange, it's a weird thing to do. Right. But knowing that when he comes through the other side, he'll have this natural ability with women.
No, and I love that. Okay, so this is my point of view, and I've talked to, other people who consider themselves top pickup artists, and, mm-hmm. For me as a woman, I was a little bit, not angry probably isn't the right word, but there are some men who do use the tools that you're talking about and the lessons that even you're teaching to other people, even the lessons that I'm teaching to people to a certain mm-hmm. degree. And they use it so much that they actually become unhuman and semi-robotic. Yes. And what they do is actually end up using women to learn their lessons so that they mm-hmm. take advantage or they manipulate. And ultimately, my belief system is that ends up fucking you and screwing over women in the long run, because women are in turn becoming really protective of themselves, or even more sure. so. So for me to understand, what is the difference between what you're teaching and what I'm talking about? Or actually, the better question is, how to use it properly so that that doesn't become you?
Sure. I've got a mum,
right.
And I'm very close to her. My dad was never around, and she's a single mom. I'm an only child, and she knows, you know, almost everything about me. She knows the times when I've taken drugs, when I've tried drugs. She knows when I've got a girlfriend. I don't tell her details of my sex life, but otherwise she knows everything about me, and we're very close. And I had to have her be okay with the business I do. I couldn't run a strip club. I couldn't sell cigarettes. You know, the same right. things that I just wouldn't be okay doing. So with this, you know, it's a business. It's a company. We train people. We work with guys. And we're distributing this information. So I had to have my mum be okay with this. And I had to be okay with this. My view is that if you've got a nasty guy, the kind of guy that hurts women, he is normally the player type that lies, is cocky, arrogant, all of these things. And he would never think, I need to be better with girls and go on the internet and search for, you know, how to be better with girls or whatever right. That guys search for to come to us. The pickup areas generally for guys that have, you know, can admit to themselves that they've got things that they want to work on. They might not be terrible, but they're ready to admit that they could be better. And these guys tend to be good guys, nice guys, on, you know, in the majority. So anytime, you know, I don't just write books and, you know, release DVDs and stuff. I've worked with thousands of guys, and they're generally very sweet, very nice people that I would be happy to introduce to female friends of mine.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you know, have wonderful guys that you get to work with like I do. So what would be the first step to working on becoming a natural?
It's like I said, it's to be weird for a while and it's to be unnatural. So
okay. So what does that mean?
Well, you have to look at your life, and you have to look at the idea of just being yourself is obviously not working, you know, because you're not getting the results, you're not happy. So you have to think about, you know, what kind of person would be attractive to the kind of women you want. So when I looked at my life years ago, I saw that I wasn't popular, I was bad in general social situations, I wasn't funny, I didn't know what to do with women, I couldn't read signs, I was sexually unconfident, I had a bad kind of, you know, problem with self-esteem, problem in all, many, many, many areas. So I had all of these deficits, and I looked at ways that I could address each one. So the superficial stuff, like if you dress better or you go to the gym, you will feel more confident. If you improve your body language, you'll feel better about yourself, and you'll start to get feedback from others. You know, people tell you you look better than you did,
right.
Or girls start to look at you more, so it gives you more confidence. So there's the superficial stuff like this, and then there's the practice of being sociable generally, and also talking to women to start to understand the signs, the things that work and the things that don't. So when I was studying this, I wasn't going out sleeping with hundreds of women, but I was talking to hundreds of women, and right. I was getting into conversations, and it started with, you know, they didn't even want to talk to me for a few seconds, and then they did, and they talked to me for a bit, but then they wanted to go, and then, you know, they'd stay longer, and then I'd get the number, but they'd never meet me for a date, and then I'd get the number and they'd meet me for the date, and then the date would be really bad, but then, you know, I figured out the next part. All of it was very calculated. I was, you know, studying materials, watching the DVDs and all of that stuff. But I also used role models. I had a role model of a guy that was older than me, that was very confident, very good with women, very sexually confident, very manly. You know, I didn't grow up with a male influence, so I kind of lacked that.
Right.
And I had another influence, another role model, who was this guy that is incredible socially. So he can meet anyone, and within 30 seconds, they're laughing and they're inviting him to places, and, you know, they want to hang out with him. So combination of all this stuff, trying it all, seeing what worked for me, and I came up with, you know, something that was calculated, but less and less calculated as I got more comfortable, and it kind of became internalized, you know.
Okay.
If you meet anyone that is a true expert at something, they probably don't think about it much, you know,
right.
Like a, I don't know, great martial artist or whatever. They're not all in their head, you know, it just flows. So that's kind of what happened to me. And when I teach, I try not to give guys too many specifics of what to say or what to do, apart from the opening line or things like this. But in terms of conversation skills, I try and think about what is the, you know, what's a good conversation look like and what's the structure of it. So a guy can have that in his head, but he's not memorizing, you know, the exact steps and the exact questions all the way through an interaction. Right. Likewise with going for the kiss, you know, it doesn't have some silly line for how to do that. I'm trying to as much as possible from the beginning tell guys how to do it naturally, but I understand that they're still going to be thinking a lot in the early days and still maybe, you know, going out with even some notes or some, right, you know, some things like that to help them out. And I think it's fine to be weird, you know, and strange in that, you know, in that phase of it. But
absolutely. It's called the research phase for a reason. You know, anytime that you learn a new skill, because with the guys that I work with as well, I say the next 2 weeks are your research phase. So go research where it's not outcome dependent. But you did mention something, and like, I understand that you have, you did create little systems or, you know, scientific, but I understand that that's what you needed to get to that next level. And then you mentioned that there was like a construct or template-ish thing that you created for a conversation. What does a great conversation look like? Like, what are the pieces that are involved in a great conversation? Again, not specific lines, but what are the pieces?
Well, something interesting, if you compare the conversation that a nervous guy would have with a girl that he's attracted to a conversation that she would have with one of her friends or someone that's really good with girls or her ex-boyfriend, it will have a different structure, not just what they're talking about, but the actual structure of the conversation. The nervous guy will ask question after question, and she'll give short responses. I used to do this exercise where I'd bring in a guy and a very beautiful girl that would intimidate him, and I'd have him just talk to her as if he'd come over and said hi and then go from there. And I counted always, even with a really, you know, cool customer, I'd count, you know, 5 or 6 questions in a row, and sometimes it got up into the 20s. You know, and these are questions without statements in between, without anything. So it's like, where are you from? Oh, cool. What do you do? Oh, that's good. How long have you done that? Oh, great.
Right. I've been on the receiving end of that, so it feels horrible. Yes. It's an energy sucker.
Yeah, so it's disastrous, and it's just impossible to make a girl feel comfortable and to, you know, to get anywhere if you're doing that. So to understand that that structure is wrong is kind of the first step, and to recognize it. And then look at the structure of a good conversation. What tends to happen is that instead of very quick questions and then short answers and then an unrelated question, what tends to happen is you'll get some information and then you'll make a statement about it, and then the person might comment on the statement, or you might ask another question at the end of your statement.
Right.
And then they'll say more because you've relaxed them, you've talked about the subject, and you're going deeper into it instead of just switching subject. So you get her saying a lot more, you're saying a lot more because you've got statements. And basically, instead of each of you talking for 3 seconds at a time, you're maybe talking for 15 or whatever.
Right.
The result is that she's relaxed and comfortable because this is the normal type of conversation she has. And she reveals more about herself, and she will feel more connected to you, and it's just very, very comfortable. So in terms of, you know, what a guy can do if he goes out tonight and he tries to apply it, anytime you get information from a girl, try and make a statement on it. It doesn't matter, you know, maybe the statement will be really lame. There's ways to make the statement, you know, better. I can tell you about that in a second. But if you just focus on making some kind of statement... That phone's going to mess it up, isn't it?
Not at all. It's natural. It's the natural, and it's a natural phone call coming in, so it's fine.
Oh, dear. Hang on. Darling.
Look at this. You get to hear Richard in his natural setting on the phone.
All right.
All good.
It's my girlfriend, so.
There you go.
I'm hiding in her room. Shall I continue from where I was?
Yeah, of course. And just to get you back on track, maybe. I think you made a really interesting point, which was the listening option and then making a statement after. Because I will say that, I work with a lot of men and I interact with a lot of men as well. And nothing frustrates me more than when I do open up and give information about myself and the man looks at me.
Mm-hmm.
And then continues on his own agenda for conversation. It makes me feel unheard. I'm just like, why did I even say any of that? You didn't even recognize it. Doesn't mean
he's a horrible guy. He's just like feeling the pressure and, you know, in the defense of men, he might listen if he were more comfortable with you, but he's just thinking, damn, what should I say next? Oh my God, what am I going to say? I don't know anything about this. And his head's going at a mile a minute. And it's quite interesting to watch guys. They have, you know, this face they do when they're thinking of the next thing to say.
Right. Oh, God, yeah.
And when they're not listening to you, they're just thinking of the next thing to say. And it's pretty funny to watch.
I see it in my coaching calls all the time. And yeah, I can understand that. But as a woman who's out there, she doesn't give a shit about what he's thinking. She just cares about herself in that moment. And she doesn't think like, oh, you know, I'm going to be empathetic, put myself in his shoes. I'm an intimidating woman. She doesn't even want to think those things
mind. Of course not.
She's like, if you don't have the balls to talk to me, I don't have the, I don't have the energy or time to be in a conversation with you, as horrible as that sounds. And that's not exactly what they're thinking, but that's overall what does happen. So it is important to listen. And what you said was really important. Make a statement afterwards, whether or not it's gold. If you say something that shows you've heard that person, it means so much to a woman.
We could probably do a little example, because normally I'm talking to guys, but this might work quite well. We could do a little example on what I'm talking about.
Oh, wonderful.
If you're up for it. Yeah. So I'll do the bad example first. I'll say, oh, hey, how are you doing? What's your name?
Marnie.
Oh, nice to meet you. I'm Richard. And where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Toronto, but I live in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool, cool. And what do you do?
I'm a nurse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. That's nice. And how long have you been a nurse?
For about 2 years.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. And, I'm waiting for my boyfriend, so I think it'd be really strange, you know, if you were here sitting and talking to me. I'm just going to go over there and wait for my boyfriend.
Okay, nice to meet you. Bye. Yeah. So that's fairly typical.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's 100% typical. Most of the guys that I work with, that's exactly the way that you just said it, is exactly what comes out of their mouth.
So what you need to do is you need to, every time I get some information, make a statement. So if I said, what's your name? And you say,
Marnie.
I say, oh, well, you know, I've not actually met anyone called Marnie before. You know, I meet loads of people from all over the world, been to many countries, but I've never met someone with that name. Is it short for something or is it,
No, it's not short for anything. It's just plain old Marnie.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, I hope you're as interesting as your name kind of leads to believe. But I'm just in LA for a while. And are you a local? Where are you from?
I'm from Toronto originally, but I live in Los Angeles now, and I have for probably 8 years.
That's that's interesting. I've not spent much time in LA. I've been meaning to go to Canada, Toronto, and stuff. I've got some friends there, but
it's a great city.
Is it?
Yeah, Toronto is amazing. Do you go back
there a lot?
I do. I wish I went back there more, but but Toronto is amazing. I probably didn't realize how great it was until I left, but it is a wonderful, beautiful, clean city.
If I went to Toronto for like 3 days, what would be like the best thing to do to
make the most? Oh, God. You know what? I don't even know Toronto very well anymore. But there's a whole bunch of options. But that what you're doing right now is great. You're literally just having a conversation with me. And I can't help. Like, I was actually biting my tongue from talking. I'm also a chatterbox. But a normal woman will give you that information. She, you know, because you're having a conversation. You're not asking for anything more. You're literally just having a conversation.
I wasn't saying anything that anyone couldn't say. It wasn't super smart stuff. It was just very, very standard stuff.
Yeah.
But it allows you to have the spotlight off you, to relax a little bit, to get time to breathe, and you know, just for the conversation to flow naturally. If the statements are always things about myself, it's not that interesting. But if they're related to you, they become more interesting. But anything is better than just going on to the next question.
I completely agree. This was very helpful information, and I really appreciate that you dove a little bit deeper into your method and actually gave away some secrets. So thank you. I think that this little portion right here, so that, you know, that last 5 minutes, is like going to help so many guys who are listening, because I know that I get questions all the time saying, how do I talk to women? What do I say? And that was a very clear cut response that people can use instantly. And again, to the point that you made, it's not going to sound perfect the first time coming out of your mouth, but you have to say it once and continue to say it in order to get to that perfect, I guess, or natural level where it just flows out of your mouth.
Yeah, so, just catch yourself asking too many questions, and you'll still do it, but at least notice when you do it and slowly kind of make the transition to not doing it.
Well, I love it. I'm actually, you know, you and I have never spoken on the phone, but through, you know, we were in a group together where we interact over email, and I've emailed with you personally, and you've always been wonderful to me. So I appreciate it. And thank you for really providing great information for my guys. So thank you so much for talking with me. And then,
it's been fun. And then
to go back to, you know, the way that I introed this interview, Richard's book is called The Natural, and you can buy it on Amazon, and it is a fantastic book. I'll have a link available underneath this audio. But yeah, definitely go check it out. All information is great information. So, you know, I'm sure that I've read a little bit of it, but it's jam-packed with more direct instruction and resources, similar to what, you know, Richard just provided on the phone with me right now. But definitely recommend it to go check out. And Richard, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.